you very much. Please.
I'd like to first of all thank the Pork Party for organising such an event. This is a very important event to highlight the human rights violations that exist. In my discussion today, I want to highlight the human rights violations in respect of Eastern Balochistan in particular. Both Suleiman and Tahavia have talked about independence and their fight for independence in occupied territory. So it's important to remember that as I speak to you today. International borders, or some international borders, are never completely just. But the degree of injustice that are inflicted on those whose frontiers and forces together or separate ethnic groups make an enormous difference. Often the difference between freedom and oppression, tolerance and atrocity, the rule of law and terrorism, or even peace and war. The most arbitrary and distorted borders in the world exist, say, an example, in Africa and in the Middle East. These borders continue to provoke the deaths of millions in these areas, and these unjust borders generate more trouble than can be consumed. While the Middle East has far more problems than dysfunctional borders alone, the cultural stagnation through scandalous inequality to deadly religious extremism is not what concerns me today. The greatest taboo that is not really talked about is in striving to understand the region's comprehensive failure is not Islam, but an awful but sacrosanct international boundaries that are protected so much by international governments today. This needs to be addressed. Of course, no adjustment of borders, however draconian, could ever make all minority groups happy. But there are significant things that we can do in a government such as Sweden and in governments across Europe and the United States, and you know how we should interact with regimes which will not tolerate democratic means and forms, who violate human rights. It is important for us to address those. I think it's important to mention, as Havia and Suleiman have already done, that Balochistan did enjoy independence, and that it was Pakistan who wanted Balochistan to join in with them. But both houses of parliament in Balochistan rejected the calls for Balochistan to join them. And of course, as we've heard today, that Balochistan was invaded and the force was used to annex Balochistan. So, now I come to the main issue. Enforced disappearances is defined in Article 2 of the International Convention for the Protection of All Persons and Enforced Disappearances, which the UN General Assembly adopted in December 2006 as the arrest, detention, abduction, or any other form of deprivation of liberty by agents of the state or by persons or groups of persons acting with the authorization, support, or acquiescence of a state, followed by a refusal to acknowledge the deprivation of liberty or by concealment of their fate or whereabouts. This is what's happening today in Pakistan. In May 2008, Pakistan stated that it would accede to it, this convention. However, even without ratifying or acceding to the convention, Pakistan is still bound by the prohibition of enforced disappearances, which is the rule of customary international law. Pakistan should follow the standards set out in the 1992 General Assembly by the UN. Declaration of the Protection of Persons and Enforced Disappearances, which, although non-binding, reflects the consensus of the international community against this type of human rights violation. This provides an authoritative guide as to the safeguards that they must implement in order to prevent ongoing enforced disappearances and killing and dumping that is going on in Pakistan today. So, acts of enforced disappearance also violate several provisions within Pakistan's constitution. So it doesn't only affect the conventions in terms of human rights law, which include freedom from arbitrary detention, right up to judicial overview of detentions and to human dignity, and prohibition of torture, as well as constituting criminal offences. This is not what is happening on the ground today. There are ongoing human rights concerns in Pakistan, and these include a dramatic increase in the killings across southwestern province of Balochistan, continuing torture, ill treatment of suspects, intimidation of and attacks on normal civilians in Balochistan and across the media, including human rights activists and journalists. There is a need for the international community to put pressure on Pakistan to ensure its adherence to its commitments. Its commitments that it made as part of a universal periodic review that was in 2008, and in respect of its adherence to international human rights law and conventions. So, across Balochistan since January 2011, at least 400 people have been abducted and killed and their bodies abandoned. Acts widely referred to as kill and dump operations, in which Pakistan's security forces engaged in counterinsurgency operations, are responsible. Assailants have also carried out targeted killings of opposition leaders, human rights activists, and the general public. This is important. So it's not just the opposition leaders, it's not just, you're not just talking about the carrying out on specific set, but a whole community, the whole Baluch community within eastern Balochistan is affected. The surge in unlawful killings in Balochistan has taken the brutality in the province to unprecedented levels. This is why we need to act. For example, in the first 10 days of July 2011, 9 bullet-riddled bodies, several of them bearing marks of torture, were discovered in the province. Just to give you a flavour. In June 2011, Sabah Dashti Yari, a professor at the University of Balochistan and an acclaimed Baloch writer and poet, was shot dead by unidentified gunmen in the provincial capital, Quetta. Dashti Dashtari had publicly backed the cause of independence in Balochistan. Just on Saturday, the bullet-riddled body of a journalist, Razuk Gul, was found dumped in a desert area near Turbat City in Kesh district. At least 17 journalists have been killed in Balochistan during the last 3 years. The relatives of the Express News correspondent said that he had been kidnapped from near his home on Friday evening and had been missing since then. In Balochistan, Pakistan's security forces, particularly its intelligence agencies, targeted and enforced disappearances of many ethnic Baloch suspected of involvement in the Baloch Nationalist Party movement. But abductions are carried out in broad daylight, often in busy public areas, across all walks of life. So people are affected day to day. They don't know if they're going to be arrested. There may be multiple witnesses, and victims are taken away from very public places. Victims of enforced disappearances come from all walks of life and background, not just young men. That's important to note. But children, women and elderly have also become the victims of these enforced disappearances. People appear to have been targeted because of their tribal affiliations or ethnicity, especially when a particular tribe, such as the Bukti or Mengal tribe, have been involved in getting and seeking the rights for their own people, the rights that Swedish people will enjoy today, democratic rights. Witnesses frequently describe their perpetrators of enforced disappearances as armed men in civilian clothes, usually arriving in four-door pickup trucks. Witnesses typically refer to these assailants as representatives of the agencies, a term commonly used to describe the intelligence agencies, including the Directorate for Inter-Services Intelligence, that's ISI, Military Intelligence, MI, and the Intelligence Bureau, IB. In many cases, the abductions were carried out by and in the presence of uniformed personnel of the Frontier Corps and Interior Ministry Parliamentary Force. Police were often seen assisting to secure the area, so also involved in these despotic acts. In all cases, such disappearances were documented by human rights organisations. Okay, it's evident that members of security forces did not identify themselves, explain the basis of the arrest, or where they were taking the apprehended. Often instead, they would beat their victims and drag them handcuffed and blindfolded into vehicles. Often these people would disappear and their bodies would be found on open ground, tortured, mutilated bodies. Time to act. So, that gives a small flavour of some of the human rights violations. Okay, we're talking now about, quickly, about the freedom of expression. The right to freedom of expression that Swedish people would enjoy today, and it's something that the Baluch would want for their own community. Okay, this is something that is not possible on a formal basis in Balochistan. It is very, very difficult to have a freedom or access to Balochistan, you know, and to report from there. It is very difficult to get data from there outside in terms of independent data. Okay, and I would call upon international community to support independent investigation of the violations, human rights violations that are going on in Balochistan today. There is a climate of fear which impedes media coverage of the military in Pakistan, and journalists are rarely able to report on human rights abuses by the military. Security forces have physically attacked media offices and are known to torture, kidnap, illegally detain and beat or coerce reporters working for local, regional and national media. So recommendations, quickly. Regarding extrajudicial killings and enforced disappearances, there is a need for the international community to act and call for an independent investigation into the enforced disappearances, extrajudicial killings and arbitrary detentions in Pakistan. This does not meet human rights convention. And they need to be held to account. Pakistan government needs to take immediate measures to end enforced disappearances, extrajudicial killings, and arbitrary detentions, and fully investigate and prosecute as appropriate all persons regardless of what their position or rank is, who carry out such abuses. Make public the names and whereabouts of detainees. That is crucial. Provide immediate access to International Committee of the Red Cross to all detainees in order that they are found that they are not being tortured and they are treated humanely. Charge detainees with recognisable criminal offences if this is appropriate. If not, they must meet international standards in regards to actually releasing them. If they can't commit to, if they can't find anything to charge them on. If they do charge them, they need to provide fair trial standards that meet international community standards, allow detainees access to lawyers and to communicate with their family members. I call on Pakistan to ratify the International Convention for the Protection of All Persons from Enforced Disappearances, invite the United Nations Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial and summary or arbitrary executions to visit Pakistan and make its findings public. That is important. Finally, in regard to the freedom of expression, end the harassment, intimidation, use of coercion, violence and other abuses against members of the media by the state security. Allow independent investigations by the media. Let us hold Pakistan to account for violations. This is important. Seek out, you know, those who are committing the atrocities and prosecute them under the human rights law, you know, and make sure that we do hold Pakistan to account. Last but not least, document through international mechanisms the intelligence agencies' interaction with media. There needs to be a greater transparency, and journalists should be allowed to be free to report in respect of human rights abuses at all times. Thank you very much indeed for listening to me.
Thank you. De sa åt mig att jag måste stå mera i mitten. They told me I have to stand here more in the middle, otherwise there will be interference with the sound here from the computer and the högtalaranläggningen, som det heter. Jag ska ge en kort sammanfattning på svenska av vad herr Nawabzada Urbair och Angela Harvey sa. För det första så betonade Urbair väldigt tydligt att det pågår extrema övergrepp mot mänskliga rättigheter i Balochistan, något som vi redan vet givetvis, men han betonade detta. Han talade om att vikten för den balochiska befolkningen är att man strävar efter samma sak som vi har i Sverige, frihet och demokrati och rättvisa och så vidare. Han talar om att vi i Balochistan, säger han, är förbjudna att använda vårt språk fritt, trots att vårt språk är ett av de äldsta språken i regionen. Han betonade att balocherna också är en stor befolkning, sannolikt kanske dubbelt så stor som den svenska befolkningen, och också förtjänar sin plats i det internationella, i den internationella miljön och den internationella debatten och den internationella uppmärksamheten. Han talar om att balucherna har kämpat dels mot britterna men också mot den iranska teokratiska regimen och även mot den pakistanska staten. Han menar att balucherna hade ingen röst under den brittiska kolonialismen, och eftersom man inte tillfrågades om sin framtid, eftersom man inte inkluderades på något sätt i den politiska processen, så innebär det också att de gränser som idag har dragits upp saknar en legitimitet för balucherna på det sättet, därför att man inte själv har fått vara delaktig i detta. Och han avslutar med att det viktigaste för fred och rättvisa och stabilitet och en positiv framtid i Balochistan är att kolonialismen avslutas fullt ut, som den gjorde för Indien 1947, men det måste också avslutas för Balochistan. Sa han avslutningsvis. Och Angela Harvey, hon talade om människorättsövergrepp i Pakistan också. Inga gränser är rättvisa, betonade hon, och klargjorde också hur gränser ofta separerar människor och skapar krig och problem och bekymmer och så vidare. Och betonade särskilt situationen i Afrika och Mellanöstern i de olika gränsproblem som har funnits på olika sätt, skapat konflikter och annat. Hon betonade att Balochistan hade självständighet och att balucherna sa nej till att ansluta sig till Pakistan tidigare på 40-talet. Hon refererar till olika FN-konventioner, eller huvudsak en från mitten av 2000-talet som Pakistan har undertecknat, samt också till skrivningar i Pakistans konstitution som klargör att tortyr är förbjudet, att man inte får godtyckligt arrestera människor och så vidare, och menar att Pakistan följer inte detta, vilket också har påpekats av Förenta Nationernas råd för mänskliga rättigheter i det som heter Universal Periodic Review, som kommer var tredje år om varje land. Hon ger sedan en rad konkreta exempel, jag behöver inte gå igenom alla, men hon gav en rad konkreta exempel som vi har hört. Om journalister som försvinner, som sedan dyker upp bak på någon truck, som sedan hamnar lemlästade, stympade, torterade i någon park någonstans. Hon menar att 17 journalister har dödats i Baluchistan de senaste 3 åren. Och hon menar att avslutningsvis också så radar hon upp en rad konkreta åtgärder hon anser att det internationella samfundet bör vidta. Och en av de sakerna som hon också menar är viktigt är att det finns oberoende observationer, observatörsteam som kan åka till Baluchistan, därför att det finns inte någon, vad ska man säga, reliable data, tror jag hon sa, eller hon sa independent data och så vidare, som gör att man faktiskt kan veta hur situationen verkligen är i Baluchistan och så. Jag försökte, detta var en något sånär en sammanfattning på svenska av vad talarna sa. Det är alltid bra, friskar vi upp vårt minne också. Nu